Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right. What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 30, Planet Xbox Podcast, Weapon Wheel Edition. And today is special. It's special because I have a good friend here, one of my favorite YouTubers of all time, king of Xbox content, king of PlayStation content, and sometimes emulation, and sometimes a Nintendo YouTuber, according to the comment section of one of your recent videos I watched.
Once in a great while.
Shout out to RGT85. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast. Great to have you, man. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Doing well. It was a fun week this week for, I think, everyone. Everyone got a little taste of something. Xbox, PlayStation got news. Nintendo Switch got no news. And you know, people were scrambling to make direct videos every freaking day. So it was a fun time.
Oh, man, this is that special time of year where everybody's highly anticipating, the directs, showcases. And this is all the time that everyone's typically wrong. As we're seeing, just to give the viewers, Attic should be here at some point in the next 10 to 15 minutes. He's busy. I know he's producing a King David Show of the Iron Lords podcast. Once that wraps up, he should jump in here. We'll definitely get to the Patreon questions probably when he comes in. But I'm going to talk some smack with the RGT in regards to this week. Because RGT, you've been putting out a lot of, you're consistent with your content, right? But you've been following this Xbox business update fairly close, and you've had a couple theories there. That was interesting. And I still lean towards one of your theories. You mentioned that the timing should coincide with one of the an upcoming direct. And only reason why I believe that is because in the business update, they refuse to name the games, right? And right. Who are they waiting for? They say they're waiting for the developers to do it. Yeah. No. I'm like, okay, this is probably a situation where this is probably going to, it's not going to be announced by Xbox. It'll probably be announced by the respective platforms that are getting these games. And now that the business update is over, like, what do you see happening?
Well, The rumor is that the next Direct is a partner showcase, meaning that Nintendo won't have any of their games there. It'll just be third-party developers. And I could definitely see, because you got to kind of take it back to January when really all of this sort of stuff started, when the first reports came out there that Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush were potentially going multi-platform, which is what people should have stuck with because, as we've seen, it looks like those are two of the four games, the other two being Grounded and Pentiment, all of which are games that would make sense for other platforms. Two of them are games that are, live service games, and two of them are well received, but smaller titles in the grand scheme of things, as far as what Xbox does. So I think those games, and this Xbox partnership will be on display at this Direct. Whenever it does happen, I still think one will happen this month. I know some people put out into the atmosphere that, oh, because Microsoft's thing was on Thursday, Nintendo didn't want to shut up. Like, that's such a stupid theory because of the fact that Nintendo and State of Plays have literally been on the same day. So why is Microsoft, that's the big deal? No, they work with that company more so than they work with PlayStation. So I was actually kind of surprised that there wasn't a Direct on Thursday, but, you know, allegedly it's next week. And then if it's not next week, it'll be the week after until it eventually happens.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Direct now. I typically miss Direct. So I don't know what happens when they come. I'm just either not available. So I'm usually probably at work, but I'm never highly anticipated because I'm not obviously the biggest Nintendo fan, but I'm looking forward to this one because I want to know if all four games will be at the next the next Direct, essentially.
I almost think it'll be a trickle where two of them will show up. I think Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush will show up, and then I think Pentiment. I don't know, because I've heard that Pentiment has been a thing for a while. And mm-hmm. So maybe it's like Pentiment and Hi-Fi Rush and then Sea of Thieves and Grounded or later or something like that. Because we got that Sea of Thieves tease
yeah.
on the Twitter page. And it's kind of like, oh, well, this is coming to everything.
There's the violets are red, something like that. Something with the
blue and red and green. It's like the white thing I'm assuming was maybe Max. I don't know. It could be Apple.
Yeah.
But I have to say, Sea of Thieves, you know, if you watch the documentary that Rare put up, I make an appearance on there saying that the game sucks and it's not going to last more than 6 months. Because initially when that game came out, it was very sparse. However, within the past 6 months or so, I actually played it with like Spawnwave, MBG, and Nate, and we had a blast playing it. It's definitely become a much more fun game. So I'm glad to see that game is kind of spreading its wings, because you've reached your market cap on people that are probably going to play it on Xbox. Why not? Why not increase that player base? It's more than likely going to have cross play as well.
Because
Nintendo and Microsoft do that. So yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, it makes sense. I would suspect like the Hi-Fi Rush port is probably done at this point. I think Pentiment, probably also that one was developed. Like, I feel like that was like a side game. They did it fairly quickly. They could probably easily put out a Nintendo port. It's not a demanding type of game. It would make sense if Sea of Thieves and Grounded are like a little bit later. But then when you consider Sea of Thieves and Grounded, Sea of Thieves is originally just an Xbox One game, right? And these games are probably coming not only to the PS5, but also to the PS4, because these are all essentially last generation games, with the exception of, weirdly enough, Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment, I don't think are available natively on the Xbox One. I know Hi-Fi Rush isn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Pentiment. Hi-Fi Rush isn't. But Grounded was on Xbox One.
Yeah, it was on Xbox One. It came there through the preview program, and it's just been updated over time. But this update, bought out a lot. And I tried to break it down in a video, and I realized I was having mic issues. So now it's probably the worst videos I have uploaded right now.
Because, you uploaded it?
Yeah, because the video was 41 minutes long, and I didn't bother to play it back. And so people, and I premiered the video, so I'm getting messages like, hey dude, turn up the volume, fix your mic. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And then I'm like, oh no. He's like, oh, I just realized this is not live, it's premiered. And I was like, dude, how long were these cutouts? He was like, well, you had a stretch of a minute where we just couldn't hear nothing. And I'm like, great. So, but I tried to break down this whole thing because you said something earlier that I also said in that video. When it was first rumored to be the Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves, now this all started even before the Xbox Developer Direct, When it was right. that, it was like, yeah, we were asking questions like, I want to know what this means for other things. But knowing that it was just those two games, we weren't really losing our minds like that. We were managing. I was like, okay, we were coping a little bit. Like, why Hi-Fi Rush? It was a new IP, but Sea of Thieves, we didn't really care. We were managing to the point where when the developer direct came, we actually got over it because we were so happy to see.
Developer direct was great.
Yeah, we got to see Hellblade 2, Indiana Jones, and Avowed and whatnot. So we got over it. And then the rumors come back up again, right? Because Hi-Fi Rush, I think, had the little data mine thing that they were saying with the t-shirts. It's like, okay, whatever. It's okay, it's true. And then out of the blue, more games started coming, but it was big games. So it's like, okay, Starfield, Indiana Jones, Halo, Gears. Like, I'm like, and it was, I feel like hour updates, a new game was coming. I'm like, what's going on? And I think that's when, I can't speak for all Xbox fanboys, but for me, is when I kind of lost my marbles because I was like, all right, this is not making sense. To the point I was like, yo, stop reporting, stop the count, just stop. That's I was actually getting bothered by it. And I'm like, it got to the point and with these updates and articles being written, it started to expand. Like, Xbox is getting out of the hardware business. Game Pass, no more day one games and Game Pass. It was going all over the place. So, and that had like, what, a whole week or two to marinate?
It was a little over a week and a half.
Yeah.
That came out on a Sunday, and it wasn't until the next Thursday. Like, that we got the event.
Which is crazy. And what made it problematic, right? And you being a YouTuber, I'm pretty sure everybody that reported on this were people you've quoted before for breaking news. Right. So you see the things like you see like Tom Warren, you see Xbox Era, you see Jeff Grubb, you see Jez Corden. And you're like, at that point, as an Xbox fan, where I was at that moment, I was like, bro, I can't do this. I can't. This is it. This is it. Yeah. Cause I'm relying on, these are the people I trust because they've been right so many times before. It's like, this is the information that they're giving us. And it appears to be true. So, you know, all bets are off. This is the end for Xbox. And then something random happened. I don't know if it's Nate the Hate that started the trend to say, hey, I'm not too sure. But there was some sort of shift where things started to get like, well, maybe not this, maybe not that. But no, I think, was it Nate the Hate that was the first one to break away from? Because Nate the Hate started this whole situation with Hi-Fi Rush. In the podcast he was in, right? That's how the whole situation started. He started it. It's crazy. It's a full circle because he started it, and then everybody else started to corroborate it. And then it just, what everybody else was more, every time a new person reported on it, a new game came with it. And it wasn't until he said that where things started to break away. And then there was like internal things that people were like, well, no, this is definitely happening. This is definitely happening. We got Phil Spencer spoke. I want to say he sent the tweet maybe on a Monday and said, we'll update us, you know, in a week or so, whatever. And then, and then we got yesterday's business update. And my question to you is, with the track record of these people, the chaos that was ensued online between the communities and all the other communities, and what we actually got, what was your ultimate like conclusion at the end of the day? It was like, okay, this, we were all prepared for this, but this is what we got.
Well, see, I'm friends with some of these people, so I talk to them kind of, you know, off the cuff a bit more.
Yeah.
And if you, so Sunday was the announcement of Starfield. And then I want to say Monday or Tuesday, they started saying Gears of War and Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
By that Thursday, I was already off the bandwagon. I was kind of like, no, I don't think this is what it's going to be. And I did a podcast. I did Mooch's podcast. Very PlayStation fan centric over there. So people were like, you're an idiot. You're competent. You know, people who didn't know me, they're like, get this Xbox guy off the channel. I'm like, finally, I'm getting recognized. But I was just like, dude, I think there's been a lot of hyperbole. I think there's been a lot of misinformation put out there, and I'm not expecting this to be a whole big deal.
Yeah.
And I stood by that the entire time, because what ended up happening was that. But the problem is that instead of just, you know, essentially being wrong, like you were wrong about Starfield. You were wrong about Indiana Jones. It's okay. That doesn't mean that your sources are necessarily the worst. Maybe they got bad information. It's okay. The problem for me is when you're proven wrong and you're like, I'm still right, because Phil Spencer said maybe in 5 to 10 years those games will come. I'm still right. It's like, no, you're not. Nobody was talking. The initial Xbox era report said it was launching this year alongside of the new DLC on PlayStation 5.
That was the report.
That's a definitive statement. If you're not sure about this, speak in a manner that is clear about it. And I just don't like the lack of accountability. And if those people want to get mad at me and they don't want to be friends with me anymore, that's fine. I really don't care. It's nothing personal. I'm just questioning what you're doing. And I know people are going to say, well, RGT, you've been wrong about stuff. Yes, I have. Everyone's been wrong about stuff. But I at least try to say, hey, you know what? I screwed this up. My bad. Switch Pro. You want to, you know, come at me for that? Fine. I was grossly misinformed on that, and it ended up being an OLED. That's cool. People are going to be wrong about stuff, but I didn't try to be like, well, it's still coming. It's like, no, it's like, okay, this OLED is probably what it was for whatever reason, COVID or whatever. It's cool. But I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way how a lot of the reactions were to things. And then, you know, instead of just being like, hey, you know, because I guess you don't want to be accused of backpedaling, because that's what happened with Nate. Mm-hmm. Nate came out with that Starfield tweet, and those people came after him, like, condescendingly. And it's like, wait a minute. He ended up being right that Starfield wasn't one of the games. Where's your apology to him? Where's your, oh, sorry about that? No, nobody did anything.
No, that's absolutely true. Is the backpedaling happened. Nate got in front of it. And people didn't like it. And again, it's like Nate is such a key part to all this, because, like I said, it all essentially started with him. I don't know if I'm, you know, giving him too much credit. I don't know. But that's who I went. That's when I first heard about it, was a clip of him saying, you know, a game. And I think I don't even think he gave the name. I think he was given like a hint, and people sort of like extracted the name, and then the other guys sort of cooperated. So it's crazy. It started with him, and it's like, they was like, wait a minute, if you're saying something's wrong with you, something's wrong with you, because that's pretty much how I took it. And when they've when I saw people going after him, and I think and I'm not doing this to be disrespectful, but I think it was the Xbox era guys and Tom Warren who were probing him after he made his statement about the Starfield, to pretty much suggest that he's incorrect or that his source is incorrect. And these guys, they did double down on what they like, you know, Starfield, we have different sources. Well, our sources, we never said our source was his source or whatever. That's what the Xbox era guys did. What Tom did was, now Tom, obviously he's in the game, he's seasoned, he has access to this, but he went so hard on his reportings that I read his article and I was a bit disgusted. And I like Tom Warren. He's blocked me a couple of times, so the only way I get to view his content is through my like secondary account. So, but the thing I didn't like about Tom is like, he's so hellbent on whatever his findings was or whatever his leaks were, that when he had the opportunity in a platform,
the Starfield thing was going to happen.
I'm sorry?
I said, sorry, my camera is for some reason not working. I've been having issues with my camera. That Starfield thing was going to happen. Here's the thing. People can assume all they want. I'm telling you, I had people that's literally told me stuff, been 100% accurate, not just Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo, leaked whole keynotes of Nintendo Directs. In order. And they are the ones that also told me Blade was coming to to Xbox. Blade was getting an Xbox game, or what, Xbox was getting a Blade game. I told you, Smooth, like 2 weeks before it happened, did I not?
Yeah.
And he's also the one that told me the Starfield thing. This dude has never been wrong. Years leaking stuff to me, has never been wrong.
Maybe he got baited.
I don't think he got baited. Not with the info this dude always be giving me.
So
like, he always be telling me stuff. He'll tell me something like 2 or 3 weeks before, and then other people start telling me stuff. That's generally how it goes. I don't normally leak stuff. I don't like to be known as that. But this particular situation, and I can't really give out details, but I was told by people.
Lost you.
I was told by people in studios that this was happening, and there was just a drastic change. Now, I don't think this isn't not happening. Part of me feels like all they did was, because what they realistically tell you, they said, okay, we're having four games come out, and Homegirl said, what are these four games? Is any of them star for Indiana Jones? And he said, no. So all he told you is the first four games is Starfield.
Those are scripted questions, so they wanted that question.
They were done specifically in the way they were done, so they have complete deniability if they want to pivot any other way.
But no, the reason why I also just wanted to continue to address the whole Tom Warren thing is like I feel like he's so hell bent on his leak or his reportings that he had on the platform that he had. After the whole situation with Phil Spencer, his article is written in a form of, you know, I hear what you say, but I'm completely ignoring it and I'm drawing my own conclusion. That's pretty much it. It's like everything he said, he was like, even though they denied that Indiana Jones or, you know, Starfield was coming, he was like, oh, but it's not, he would write it in such a way that, but that's not ruled out. He would even throw in like Gears of War and all this other stuff. And to the such, it was like, but yo, Phil Spencer is not saying that. Like, write the article based on what he's telling you. Why are you inserting your own like theories in here? And then you're presenting that because now you got him a part of this interview and you got your own theories within the same article. It's like people are saying, oh, he confirmed something completely different with Tom Warren than what they just said. And all he was just doing was repeating what he did on the podcast that they did. So they're helping. He's going to ride on that thing for as long. It could take 5 years for wherever all those games they were mentioning to come in, and they'll eventually come and then they'll finally be right. But at that point, who's paying attention? I'm not. Like, I got to the point where I had to mature, and people think I'm just trolling. I'm not trolling. I am not trolling. I had to mature over this whole situation. And I said this in who podcast? Somebody had a podcast and I think I donated. And I said, I don't really care about PlayStation. But I was like, for me, Nintendo and Xbox, and I think I've actually said this a couple times publicly before this was even a rumor. Nintendo and Xbox can share games for all I care. Like, I don't mind if every game go on Nintendo. I just don't care. Like, I don't mind when, I don't mind when Xbox gets puts games on Nintendo Switch. It's never really been a problem. I think Nintendo is the only other platform that has Ori. Do they got both Ori games or whatever? But and they got, yeah. Xbox clearly put Hellblade literally on a Nintendo Switch 2 years after buying Ninja Theory. They didn't have to port it there. It was just like, all right, here you go. It's this there. They got a physical copy. I believe they got a physical version too. And so it's like, I don't really care. So I'm at a point where I'm not going to think that this is horrible or bad for Microsoft if they ultimately decide to do it. Do I think it's smart on their end? Yes and no. I say yes and no because there's a chance they're going to make a lot more money for it. But no, because I don't know what it's going to mean for their console. But for me personally, I don't really care. And I say that because I'm not going to, even if they do decide that they're going to release Starfield when the DLC comes out onto PlayStation, if they decide to do that, I'm not going to throw away my Xbox and, you know, abandon my digital library and buy the game again on PlayStation. It just doesn't make sense for me to do that. Gaming is the only medium that has this problem, entertainment medium that has this problem. Like, if you think about it, the idea, there's no real exclusive on any other entertainment device or subscription, whatever, that we utilize. It's just, I prefer iPhone, not because it has anything exclusive. It's just an iPhone. That's pretty much it. But it's not like Twitter is exclusive to iPhone.
Bad boys be pretty crazy smooth.
Nah, it's not as crazy.
I remember I came across a chick once, and she would literally judge you if you didn't have an iPhone.
Yeah, but is she judging you based off the product, though?
She'll be like, what's this green text? I'm like, I have an Android. Why don't you have an iPhone? I'm like, you know what? We're not talking anymore.
Yeah, but that's a different sort of thing. They got different problems, right? But there's nothing like
problems.
Yeah, but there's nothing really that's really say, hey, iPhone. You buy iPhone because it has more of what? More of what? What really? Just more popular. That's all it is. It's more popular. But when it comes to gaming, there's actually physical things that that tie us in. If games just literally all shared the library 100%. Every game that releases on PlayStation releases on Xbox, vice versa. You would literally be buying the platform based on preference. And if we lived in a world like that, I would still be buying Xbox because I prefer Xbox to PlayStation. It's not even the games at this point. It's just that I have a PlayStation. I literally boot up my PlayStation a couple times a year. And it was one time last year, Spider-Man. It ain't going to be no time this year. So when they release a game where I was like, okay, I really want to play this game, that's when I boot up the PlayStation.
The amount of time I'm about to put in Rebirth,
yeah, I was about to say,
is going
to
be enough for both of us.
You said it's going to be enough for both. I'm not a Final Fantasy fan. Actually, I actually can't stand Square Enix for the life of me. I despise them as a publisher.
That's not biased in any way, shape, or form.
You're getting the new Mana game, though.
Yeah.
Developer Direct.
Yeah. It's a little too late. Square Enix is a horrible publisher. They're bad for business, and they put themselves in many of the situations there that they're in. And a lot of people think, and that's not an anti-PlayStation thing. It's like, I don't like the way Square Enix works. They sold off my favorite developer, and now who knows what's going to happen to Crystal Dynamics and Eidos. I don't know what's going to happen to them. Now that they're under Embracer,
Crystal Dynamics is too busy putting out warnings for the Tomb Raider trilogy. Did you see that?
Yeah, what they said, because they kept I don't know what it was. I guess
representation was bad, and that's not how we think of certain people and tribes and stuff. It's like, dude, I don't think anyone's going into this with like, yeah,
no,
let me play some Tomb Raider. It's like, dude,
I think Crystal Dynamics, I don't know if they're just salty for them not being the ones to port the original games.
Aspyr did a great job, though. Hats off to Aspyr. They put their A team on that game. That's a really fun trilogy.
Did you buy? I didn't buy it because I figured it'd be too difficult. I couldn't play video games back then.
No, they got modern controls.
Okay.
They added in modern controls. It gets a little wonky with some of the cameras sometimes with the modern controls, but it looks really good. I mean, you could switch between the graphical styles on the fly just by pressing the start button, so you could kind of see like what they did as far as, you know, changing things up. But it's a gorgeous looking game, and I've been having a blast playing them. I never played 2 or 3. I played the first one on my Sega Saturn of all places, which wasn't the optimal experience. So, you know, it's fun to go back and play it. But for like $30, dude, yeah, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I think I've only ever played like the first one, and I think that was on like a demo disc.
Yeah.
Well,
it was better on PlayStation than it was on Saturn, but
yeah, I never even owned a Saturn. That's why, the crazy thing is, you know how like the perception that people thought Tomb Raider was a PlayStation exclusive this whole entire time, and forget that there was a Saturn version that existed.
Yep.
That's funny. That is funny. Attic, man. And I know you got some of these sources. When you got in here, we were pretty much discussing how pretty much we were led astray. You may disagree with that sentiment. I think we were led astray. I think journalism is toxic. Journalism is toxic.
I think the outcry had them revert certain things and push back other announcements. I don't. Here's the thing: everything they said in that whatever the hell they called it, like business update, that could have been just a wire. They didn't really say much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is they're literally showing, there's people on Twitter right now going back to when Phil talked about Xbox games going to PC. He's mm-hmm. almost word for word saying the same shit he said when it went to PC.
Mm-hmm. That was 2016.
Yeah, 10 years ago almost.
But my point is just because he's saying stuff now does not mean that that's not just PR speaking, bruh, wording like, things in a way bruh, that gives him enough wiggle room to say what he wants.
5 years from now, I at that point, I won't even care.
But I have a question. I have a question. If that is the case, what is more important to Microsoft, shareholders and money, or Twitter customers? Because I don't think that they changed everything because Tim Dog and
it wasn't Eastwood. Tim Dog. They were trending on Twitter. It wasn't a couple people. They were trending on Twitter. They were being covered by national news. They were being cut. But see, the thing, I have plenty of friends that's in corporate. That's one of the biggest things that has these corporate companies start buckling, because guess what national coverage does? It affects your stock.
Was right. Microsoft stock impacted throughout this whole entire
thing? I don't know. I didn't look at that shit. But
it wasn't.
I feel we were led astray. And there was warnings out there that we were led astray when, you know, obviously with certain individuals were backing off on some of the outlandish stuff that was being said. When, again, like I said, if the crazy thing, if they kept the rumor at Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush, we would be okay. We would have been fine with it. The outrage wouldn't have happened. People would have still had, like, some people would have been put off or whatnot, but it wasn't that big a deal. It didn't go stupid until they started mentioning Starfield, Indiana Jones, Gears of War, Halo, and like pretty much all the big games you would literally want Xbox to have, that you would buy an Xbox for. That's when everybody lost their shit. And then the Game Pass, no day one Game Pass stuff, that kind of like also set people off. Xbox getting out of
hiring. I don't know where that came from.
It was out there. It was definitely out there. And it got out of control. And the thing is that right now, prior to this meeting, everybody were doubling down on what they were reporting, with the exception of a few people. And it caused a bunch, like some rifts between individuals, different people who have access to different sources and whatnot. And I that's why I said, I think that's what really, because before this whole Xbox update, I literally said journalists are toxic, and toxic stuff happened literally right after that update. So you don't think anybody should be held accountable for what happened? Because no one's correct.
Held accountable
for the stuff that they were spewing.
Now, if you want to talk about maybe Xbox Air, because they actually did initialize all this, then maybe you can have an argument on that one. Here's the thing. It's Twitter. It's just like RGT said. It's just a giant scream chamber. But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
what are we going to do? We're going to start banning people from making tweets? Like, what could you realistically do to hold someone accountable? I just want to, I'm curious what you mean held accountable. What would you do?
You know what's funny? When you say you're curious, you know how when people tell us we need to hold Xbox accountable for some invisible problem? Like, Xbox doesn't have any games. You need to hold them accountable. Like, what do you want me to do? I mean, my version of holding these guys accountable is calling them out on what they did, and they should acknowledge that they were wrong or misled.
Yeah, which is all you really can do. Like, I've been wrong about stuff. It's okay. I come out and say it. You know, hey, I was wrong. Sorry about that. And, you know, you'll take... I feel like some of these journalists, not really a god complex, but they almost have, like, these egos. And whenever you kind of challenge them on anything, you know, and it all boils down to the public perception, as if people like them or not. Like, I've had spats with people. Jason Schreier hates me.
Yeah.
Whatever. Adam Sessler, I got into a big thing with him and he ended up blocking me. But it really just sort of boils down to the public's perception of the individual to see like whose side are they on, because people are very tribalistic. They want someone to be right. They like the sensationalism. And when Nate the Hate started getting blowback for saying, hey, you know, I'm hearing Starfield isn't one of the games now, I'm sorry about that, and all those people came after him, like, I lost a ton of respect for those people, because that's just ridiculous and childish, and you know prodding him with questions and, you know, thinking that it impacts you. No, what impacts you is when you're saying these things and then we get this you know podcast and what you said isn't coming to fruition. So yes, you technically were incorrect with this. You could say plans change, this, that, the other. But when Xbox era comes out there and says this is happening, Starfield is launching alongside of the new DLC on PlayStation 5. And
see, I wasn't told at launch. I was told after it would be coming.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying what the Xbox era article.
Like, we're talking like a 2026. That's like the time era that I was told around when Starfield would be hitting.
Right, but I mean, they were coming out there saying essentially this year, and it's like, and then I
no, well, that's not true. So you know what they were doing? They were speculating because the leaks showed Bethesda having that expansion come out this year, but also like 8 things on that damn roadmap were wrong in terms of time because of the pandemic. So it's like they don't know when the hell that DLC is coming out.
And then, yeah, because they also said that they made additional investments in PlayStation 5 dev kits.
Dev kits, yeah.
Yeah. Ongoing effort and stuff. And it's like,
really? You know,
I checked in on that. That's bogus, too.
Yeah. So I just think there was some misinformation. People, higher up people in the hierarchy of reporting and stuff, started peddling the information, saying that they heard the same thing, whether it was the same sources, whether they heard nothing at all. You know, who's to really say? But as far as the accountability is concerned, you know, I just kind of look at people through a different lens. I have friends who are quote unquote leakers, and I look at their track record and I remember things that they say. And even I sometimes look at my friends and I'm like, you know, they'll come out with something. I'll be like, I don't think I'm going to report on that because I don't think that's a valid thing.
RGT, you know what's the funniest part? When people say stuff years ago, and it just so happens to happen, and they act like, I said it in 2012.
The victory lap is coming. Like, I mean, that's just kind of leak culture in general, though. You know, nobody, you know, well, I should say most people aren't always going to be right all the time. It's okay to be wrong about things, but when you don't acknowledge that you are wrong about things, it kind of gives, at least for me, it gives me this sort of, you know, holier than thou sort of ego perception. And I don't really like to see that with people, because at the end of the day, we're talking about fucking video games. Like, you know, this is really
I didn't like the dog piling that went on over this, because it's like, look, I feel strong that this was, it's not that this, that they like went back on plans. I don't think they was ever going to announce Starfield this early. I don't know where Xbox Era got that info from. The way when I was told it was going to be announced after the expansion came out. It wasn't coming out this year. It was going to be announced after, and it would be like 6 months after the expansion. So this wasn't going to be this year anyway in terms of like the announcement. So it's like, look, you know, if they changed it, they changed it. They didn't. The reason I'm so adamant that I do believe this was a real thing just because the particular source. Now, this one individual, like I said, if he wouldn't have said it, I wouldn't be so adamant about it. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was because I was told by a couple people that Microsoft had like a 12-hour meeting the day after. I'm sure they would. And I don't know what was said in there. I don't know if they changed things. I don't know if they decided to, you know, reword certain things or, you know, maybe push certain things back. Because even Phil said on there, we had plans later on for this, but because of things that's going on, we have to say it now. I think it was probably next year, because not next year, next month, because that it was probably a couple days before they were going to have Diablo show up on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So this is like, look, here's the thing, even if I'm straight up wrong, doesn't really give anyone the initial reaction to start dogpiling on me and saying stuff like, "You're out of the Xbox community, motherfucker. I didn't want to be in this community, bitches like you anyway." So yeah, that's the
extreme psycho people out there that do shit like that. But
people call me scum. Someone literally super chatted King's podcast calling me a scum
for what?
Thanks for just the money, pal.
Just because I said, you know, they call me Mustard Heart. It got to the point where I had to take the Mustard Heart and say, "Well, I guess I'm the Mustard Heart General because I'm not backing down from this." It's like it is what it is. I just don't like the moment you don't agree with someone. Now we're not looking to disagree. We're looking to end you. We don't want you having a voice. We want to kill every metric. It's like a lower version. It's like a level one version of canceling. Like there's the level three that like the nuclear one. It's like the level one. It's like let's dogpile him. Let's get his ass. Like,
yeah.
It's like, damn, man. Like, you know, and what's funny is the same people that was like attacking like Tim Dog and stuff. Like, look, Tim Dog was definitely being way too emotional, and he would even admit that. But it's like at the same time, it's easy to sit there and attack one person, but then the same people that was attacking the Tim Dog thing, they're completely ghost. That people are being personal to Jess Corden for no reason. I don't know if any death threats have been sent, but I had someone DM me called me a cocksucker. So, you know, it's just crazy that people, they co-sign some behavior, but other behavior, they're like, no, that's not right. You know, Tim Doc shouldn't be acting like that. Oh, you call an addict a cocksucker in his DMs? Yeah, we got it. We got to do that. Let's double down on that behavior.
Dude, like, I'm going to tell you a couple things. Three examples of how bad this in RGT he got a few things that happened, but how bad that this whole rumor and stuff got out of hand, right? So I was getting messages on Xbox from just random people, right? And it was like, hey, they was like, hey, Kid Smooth, with everything going on with Xbox, where are you gonna play your games at? And I was like,
real quick, is your cover picture still fuck Xbox?
No, I changed it. I updated. I told you I have grown. I've matured.
That message to make sure you didn't do something stupid like like break your shin from kicking the wall or something.
Yeah, no, like, you know, I'm not going to lie. I've been very immature. Gaming has kept me immature. Console gaming, console wars has kept me immature. And I will get through this. I will get through this normally. I will grow this. None of this stuff is going to bother me. Is
this a podcast or a therapy session?
This is a podcast. But so I got a message. They were asking, like, hey, are you still, where are you going to be playing your games now moving forward? Are you going to stay with Xbox? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to stay with Xbox. I'm upset, but I ain't like, it's not, at the end of the day, it's like, it is what it is. Right. And then my best friend calls me, who's not in the gaming, like, he literally only gets new Xboxes because I tell him one has come out. But he, like, if I did not tell him that, he would still be on 2013 Xbox One. He FaceTimes me and he's like, hey, like, is it true Xbox is not making any consoles? This is how bad the rumor has gotten. And I'm like, no, dude. I was like, it's like, nah. He was like, oh, okay. So I heard that they weren't making no consoles and they're bringing all their games to PlayStation. And I was like,
probably follows you on Twitter and saw you spy.
Nah, he's not. He's not even on Twitter. He's not on Twitter. That's the thing. He's not on Twitter. He's on LinkedIn and Facebook. So he was like, oh, he's like, okay. So he said, oh, okay. So I was like, yeah. I was like, they are bringing, he said, it's true they bring games to PlayStation. I was like, yeah, they are bringing games to PlayStation. But I'm telling you right now, the games that are coming to PlayStation fairly soon, none of them you've ever played, and you probably even haven't even heard of them. He was like, "Oh, they really?
You don't even like."
And so I named all
by Rush. That was a good game.
I named all the games he was not familiar that any of these games existed. So, like, he's like, "Oh, he's like," he said, the first thing he told me, he's like, "You know what? It makes sense. They probably have to do that because don't they own Call of Duty now, right?" And because he follows Microsoft, he doesn't follow like Xbox. He's like, he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. Well, they gotta continue to release games on PlayStation and everything because he's like, otherwise the FTC is gonna be after them for monopoly. He don't even know that there's an active case going on.
You know what the worst part about this whole scenario is?
Yeah,
it has put King on such a high that I don't know if we could ever talk him down anymore. Like, he's gotten to the point where this Hold the Line movement has just completely got out of control, and now, like he's just going to be too extra all time, 24 hours, 7 days a week. There's no stopping this man at this point. What's funny is, like, they go on that, but they put me, I don't know where this shit came from, I think it was AI generated, but it showed me running from, like, a battle. It said Attic is key, is general fleeing the line. And I'm like, oh my God.
Somebody told me, Hold the Line in question mark after my thing on Twitter. I was like, I'm walking over it. I've been delivered. So, my
hey,
wife,
RGT, how long you think this gonna last?
Maybe a month.
I don't even give it that far.
I can't walk it back. I can't. It's like it is what it is. My wife has my wife works from home, and like they have a chat, and I think one of the dudes is like somewhat of a gamer, and he puts in a chat like, yeah, he hinted that he was upset with Microsoft because they're getting rid of Xbox, and then so my wife asked me, she knows I'm obviously in the know with gaming and stuff like that, so she asked me, she's like, hey babe, is Microsoft getting rid of Xbox? And I was like, no, where'd you hear that from? And she was like, oh, so somebody I work with, he plays games, and he's freaking out because Microsoft is about to give her the Xbox.
I guess, like,
that's like,
I visualize, and I know it's probably not fair to you, like, when you're tweeting, like, and you're, like, updating fuck Xbox, that you're just in a bad mood 24/7 at your house, and, like, I just envision, like, your wife coming up, what is your problem? Xbox is going away! Just walking away.
Like when Dreamcast guy ripped his Diablo shirt, and he's got that Smooth's got the Xbox shirt. Ah, I can't believe it.
Yeah, man, it's the thing is that how I'm trying to, like, I really don't think I'd be bothered by it. Now, the only thing is that I just wish, and one can only wish that PlayStation just give up some of their games. And all I really want is Spider-Man. Like, I mean, like, I play Spider-Man on PC. I went through the game again on PC, but, like, come on, it don't hurt. Like, give us some of the old games. Because if you think about it, right, there's a bunch of games that are literally dying or dead and stuck on a PS4 and a PS3, just there to just rot because it was an exclusive. Never to be played again. They're just sitting there. Yeah,
I would fucking kill to have that brought
for
back
no reason. That's crazy. That think of, that's why I'm like, yo, it's not really all that bad. Like, so, like, for example, I mean, sure, give PlayStation Sunset Overdrive. Let them have it. They own the original developer. You know what I mean?
I guess to me, like, I got so much money invested into the Xbox ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried that they would do something like this, and that's if they, like, truly went third party, no exclusives on their platform at all. And with the sales are so bad as it is, I'm like, do you guys really see that braining up? Like, I see that going down, especially at the beginning of next gen. And I can just see Microsoft do what Microsoft does best. It's like they evaluated, we're not making we have to make X amount of money to make sense keeping the Xbox ecosystem up and going. And once you fall way below that and they only selling like a couple million a year, if that, I could see them pulling the plug on the whole thing. And it's just like, look, we're going full multiplat. And like that's my only thing. Like, I don't care other people playing the game. Mm-hmm. It's just my thing is, like, if you take enough value out of your own ecosystem, when's that going to start biting you back in the ass?
I get it. That's why a certain, like, something like this is why the industry is behind on many, many, many things. You know what I mean? We okay being all digital with music and movies. We're okay with, you know, DRM on everything else, but, you know.
But see, here, the thing is people even do that now with even content. Like, Joe Rogan had an exclusive, like, content with Spotify for how many years? Like, they're all, every industry is doing exclusives to some degree.
Yeah. The thing is, though, when you consider, like, if I'm Joe Rogan, if somebody's willing to give me a bag to produce my podcast on just their platform, that's one thing. It's like, it's not like Joe Rogan's podcast is getting paid like exclusively by the millions and millions of viewers, because I'm pretty sure he would take that if he gets paid more to be viewed by everyone because everybody's paying him individually to access his podcast. That's different. Here you have an individual who's being offered a bag to stream his podcast on one platform. It's not the same as like video games and music and stuff like that. Look at this, right? And this is probably not uncomparable, right? But what do you think happened with the iPhone after they were free from AT&T's exclusivity?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I didn't know they had an exclusivity on AT&T.
Were you born in 2008?
I've never had an iPhone.
All right, so when iPhone first came out, I think it was 2007. I think it was my freshman year in college. I remember I see this weird dude in a trench coat. He was the first one I saw with it in person. And the iPhones back then were big, like kind of like how they are now, right? But they were a little, they weren't as square. They was like kind of, they were rounded. And it came out in 2007, and it was exclusive to AT&T. AT&T was the only provider that could sell iPhones. And that lasted for about 4 years because about time my carrier got iPhone, they were already on the iPhone 4. And once every other carrier, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile were able to get iPhone, sky's the limit. Never look back.
I feel you, but once again, these companies are doing stuff to incentivize buying their phone. They're reaching out to these companies.
That's why
I want to do this promotion. I'll sell you to this at whole value for this holiday. They're still doing promotions
and Xbox can still do that. That's why, you know, Game Passes exist. I will play on Xbox because of Game Pass, right? But I will consume Xbox games on Xbox because of Game Pass. I would not consume Xbox games on PC. Also, playing on Xbox is literally anything. For example, when I buy a game on Xbox or consume a game on Game Pass, I have access. Think about this, how I get access to those games. Xbox, PC, Rogue Ally, my Meta Quest 3, and my phone and my Samsung TV. I got 6 devices that I actually use where I can access to those games or my subscription through Xbox. Buying that game on PlayStation, right, does not give me that same freedom. I'm just within that box that's going to be alive for 7 years.
Look, I've always been the advocate person throughout years, and maybe RGT can agree to disagree. I don't know how much, besides Nintendo, I think Nintendo's a little different. I don't know how much realistically, when you're a console manufacturer that has like a really healthy relationship with a lot of third party,
mm-hmm.
how much your exclusives are really selling over something like a Call of Duty marketing, a Madden marketing, a 2K marketing. I don't know. You know, I never thought we'd find out, but you know, we might. Like, so it's just like, I do think Nintendo, they almost solely go off their exclusives. It's the only reason I got a Switch, because I want to play their exclusive games. But and when it comes to PlayStation and Xbox, because they do have a vast majority of like the popular third party stuff, if you told me Attic Call of Duty sells more consoles than all the exclusives combined every year, I'd probably agree with you, because what do you see at the end of every it's not a coincidence to me that almost every time a console generation is won by a manufacturer, either PlayStation or Microsoft. Well, Microsoft has never really won one. They've always had the marketing rights. 360, Xbox had it, PS4, PlayStation had it. So clearly that has some form of power to have that. And it's just like, look, we've never really had a generation or anything in gaming that's solely relying on who's promoting their console better and not necessarily who's making the better games on the console. And, you know, maybe we'll see that, you know. I will say that in terms of like features, I think Xbox definitely has better features than the PlayStation, but PlayStation as a whole has better games than Xbox. And
so my question to you is, why do you prefer Xbox or PlayStation?
I prefer Xbox.
Why?
Because they do have the games that I want. I'm a huge RPG fan. I'm looking forward to Avowed. I'm looking forward to Fable.
Prior
I love
to that,
Halo.
Those are all upcoming. Prior to that, because you preferred Xbox over PlayStation, and prior to these this new wave of games that they're producing, they you didn't even rock with half of their exclusives.
So why I bought an original Xbox for the original Fable.
Okay.
And I bought a 360 for Fable 2. Like, Fable has been, like, the key component that's kept me in the Xbox ecosystem. I played a lot of Halo. Like, I have a ridiculous amount of time in Halo 3. Like, and I would say Halo 3 was such an iconic game that I almost had a 360 entirely for Halo 3. And that went on to Halo 3, Halo 4, Halo 5. Like, look, like, Halo was used to be such a dominant name that it could carry an entire brand because of it, but we're no longer in that market anymore. Back then, they didn't have these free to plays running wild everywhere. You could actually compete with the game like Halo, but now it's just like you don't have a battle royale, automatically a minus one. You might not recover just from that one alone. If your game's not free to play, another minus one. It's not an easy time to compete in the times that we currently are in.
And I think the industry, like you said, has just changed so much. Like, look at the difference between the 360 era and the era we are in now, as far as games are concerned, as far as the rise of the free-to-play games or the games as a service games that are taking, you know, 5-6 times the amount of time to develop and 5-6 times the amount of money to develop. Like, I think the industry, although you're seeing all of these like record-breaking profits and stuff like that, which is
a minority.
Yeah, like I just feel like we're getting to this weird point where it's like
the bubble's about to burst.
Yeah, look at what happened with PlayStation this week. That was completely lost in all of the sauce of the Xbox stuff. Like, that's pretty concerning considering how strong PlayStation has been. You know, this generation thus far, to hear them be like, oh, you know, sales are down and the games.
It's like Mike. It's like they say, oh, Xbox is having a really bad day on Twitter. Yo, call them, drop that shit a week early. I don't give a fuck what you got to say.
Like,
no one's talking about that shit tomorrow.
Yeah, it just kind of came and went. So, you know, it's the industry is in a very volatile state right now. And
I don't think it's going to self correct. I do think there's going to be a crash to some degree.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be like how it was in the States with the 84 crash or whatever, when it was 82 crash, whenever it was. I wasn't born yet.
Well, it, correct me if I'm wrong, that was like way before my time, but a lot of that was just because the industry was so small at that time. It couldn't self-correct because it was so small.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was mostly, there was a lot of console manufacturers out there, and a lot of people were trying to do different things, and it just got to the point of where, you know, a couple failures of games that, you know, people banked on, and then, you know, it just went tits up. Nobody wanted anything. I mean, that's why the NES is the Nintendo Entertainment System, because the word video game had a negative stigma attached to it. No company wanted to be involved with that, at least in the United States. Over in Europe, things were, you know, business as usual, and everything was fine over there with that market. And I don't think it'll be that drastic, but
I think there'll be a drastic change in how AAAs are produced, though.
Yeah, well, we're already seeing it.
Yeah,
look at like the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 era of AAA releases, of first party releases from both Sony and Microsoft, and compare it to what we've gotten with this generation. It's night and day, dude. You could look at like 2001 for the PlayStation 2 and been like, holy, look at all these games. These all came out in the same year. That's unheard of. And it's just, you know, third parties are feeling it. First parties are feeling it. And, you know, at some point in time, there has to be a breaking point. And I definitely feel like we are marching towards that.
Yeah, people forget Grand Theft Auto used to be an annual game.
Rockstar used to make lots of games.
Yeah.
Warriors, Bully, the weird ping pong game, Manhunt. Like, they used to
Midnight Club.
Then they made tons of games, and now all they make is the Call of Duty or the Grand Theft Autos.
I will agree that the more appealing we became to like high level investors, the worse it would start to become, because now the industry don't want to take enough creative risk, because they're like, look, why take this creative risk? Well, like, GTA gonna come out, it's gonna pay everyone's roles. We don't need this other shit. Like, put all that money into GTA.
Well, I mean, and that creative risk could, you know, hurt your company, or in some cases, you know, with smaller companies, it could completely wipe you out. Like, the margin of error, like, there's people, like, people came out with Suicide Squad tweeting, hey, if this game doesn't do good, these developers might be out on Rocksteady, might shut down. And it's like, that's not my problem. I'm the consumer. If I don't like something, I'm not going to buy the game.
Low-key trying to guilt trip you to go buy the game.
Yeah, like, what the hell is this? And like,
that actually kind of makes me not want to buy the game. It's like, you're going to try to guilt trip me. It'd be different if I'm looking at a game and I'm like, you know what, like Callisto Protocol, I actually felt like, even though it didn't vibe with me like I would have liked it, I would have wished for that studio to get another shot, because I felt like they had something. They just got to go back and refinance it, restructure it.
The dude who would go on stage, I really liked listening to him talk. Like, he was entertaining. He wasn't like a lot of other, you know, presenters in video games. But yeah, like, look at Callisto Protocol. Look at that. Oh God, what was that game? The EA game that.
Immortals. Magic. Immortals of Avenum.
Yeah. Like, there you go. Bye. We're done. See you later. You're all out of jobs. Like,
that's crazy, dude.
The Switch Force dude, the Switch Force channel guy, was the marketing guy for that game. And, yo, bye. Sorry. Like, it's just crazy. It's just crazy.
I mean, I'm like, I got to play the trial at Immortals of Avenum, and maybe I played a role in the game not being successful, but I was just waiting for it to launch in the Game Pass. It should be in there pretty soon. Like, I think the game is cool. It's just,
here's the thing though, Smooth. I'm convinced that, look, are there people in the middle that would buy a game if, that would still buy the game if Game Pass didn't exist? Yeah, I would say the majority of the people that don't buy a game if it's not in Game Pass, they're in that middle where they're like, yo, I kind of want it, but I don't know. If you were anticipating that game, you were buying that with or without Game Pass. Like, 9 times out of 10, you weren't buying that shit if Game Pass was around or was not around. Like,
No.
Nothing
no.
about that game I know would Immortals? Appeal to you. So you would have bought that game.
Did I played that. I played the trial. I wouldn't have bought it day one. Absolutely not. I wouldn't have bought it day one. I would have bought it at the time, because right now I think it's on sale for like 50% off. So this would be the time that I would buy it. But I was like, I know it's coming to Game
Pass. It's not on your Xbox right now.
Yeah, because I'm waiting for it to Game Pass. What? Is that
confirmed to be coming to Game Pass?
Yes, EA games go to regional. Game Pass Ultimate will go to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do think there is an issue with that. Like, I got a lot of flack from the Xbox community, because I said a lot of the core issues that Xbox has right now is because of Game Pass.
Well, yes. My thing is that Game Pass isn't marketed to the degree it is. Like, they need to go beyond Twitter. They need to market like how everybody else markets. I see Hulu commercials all the time. I see Netflix commercials all the time. Market Game Pass that way if you want broad appeal, you know what I mean? By marketing,
terrible marketing.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Terrible fucking marketing.
It's like they rely on word of mouth like way too much. And the problem is like, clearly it's not, like, no one's talking about it. Like, I don't ever see, like, I have a friend that's in the PR industry, and like, he's one of the people that like reaches out to influencers and people on TikTok, and he said Xbox does almost do none of that. They do almost none of that. And it's just like, especially TikTok, like, a lot of the younger audience are on that app, and you're almost not on it at all. So it's just like, what do you expect? You know, I do think that there are certain things that they will put money behind marketing, mm-hmm. But, you know, I personally believe because of Game Pass, it's led to a lot of lack of a few things, like timed exclusives. Mm-hmm. I think the reason they don't really push for those anymore is because when you talk to Square Enix and, you know, you're trying to get these timed exclusives, and obviously they got to go in Game Pass because that's your whole
persona. Yeah, it doesn't make sense for Xbox to get a timed exclusive.
So you're going to have to not only pay the marketing and the timed exclusivity, you have to also put money behind that to get it on Game Pass day and day. I feel like that's one of the reasons they don't push as hard for marketing bigger title games anymore, because you got to pay for the marketing and you got to pay for them to put it in Game Pass day and day. Like, sure, they still go after certain games, and maybe that's like pre-existing relationships that's just carried over throughout the years. But it's just like, you know, I do feel that way. I feel like, you know, one of the reasons that they don't really push for those timed exclusives as much is because they know that it's going to put like another zero if they want that also on their platform, and they want to put it in Game Pass day and day. Because if it's only on Xbox and it's going to be cannibalized by the Game Pass service, clearly the publisher going to be like, okay, you're going to have to give me all the money up front, not half, not a fraction. I'm going to need all that money up front.
My thing is though, I forget what I was going to say, man. Oh, my God. Crap. My thing is, Xbox ain't going to invest in time exclusive if they're about to put their games on PlayStation and Nintendo. What's the point?
I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about
general. Yeah, no. The marketing.
If you look at it up until now, they don't even really push for indie exclusives as much anymore.
Yeah, they do. Time, they still got indie exclusives.
Yeah, but it's usually with the Xbox publishing, whatever the hell that shit's called.
When they work with
a company, I'm talking about like working with smaller indie developers. It's not, oh my God, who's calling me? Okay, keep going. Someone's calling me.
Yeah. No. But I agree. Their marketing has been horrendous. I don't know who they lost. I don't know where. Because it was after like early Xbox One generation, it was decent. They had decent marketing. I still remember that Titanfall commercial when a dude was walking through Manhattan or something like that, took the dude out of his building. But as far as like, I think with Microsoft, it's crazy because they don't market Xbox and therefore the Xbox doesn't sell. Therefore they don't get new Game Pass subscribers, therefore on their investment cost everything is down, and then they overreact to that, and it's like, bro, if you just put some money into highlighting your product, if you advertise Xbox you will sell Game Pass, if you advertise Game Pass you will sell Xbox. It's hand in hand. It's like, I don't understand why they don't do that.
I agree. Like, the best way to sell subscription services is to sell the hardware it comes with.
Yeah, and they get somebody. Hopefully, they listen to themselves speak. Do they hear themselves? Matt Booty confirms that.
Go ahead and finish.
No, I was gonna say Matt Booty confirmed that Game Pass is only gonna be on Xbox and PC. Okay,
which is interesting. They've said that. I don't think they've ever said that. Like, I even think Phil Spencer said that, you know, our games go wherever Game Pass is. Now it went from that to we'll only ever be on Xbox. I think these other companies are like laughed them out of the room.
No, because Apple made it harder for them to get on there, so they're ruling out the mobile. You can probably get on Android and stuff like that, maybe. And then, you know, PlayStation and Nintendo are not doing it because they got games to sell on their platform, and Game Pass will be eating into that service.
So RGT, what I want from you is, like, we don't really get a lot of like outside perspectives on the Xbox platform.
RGT is the king of Xbox.
Huh? Self-proclaimed.
Self-proclaimed king of Xbox.
I just want like your opinion on what you think right now is wrong with the Xbox brand. I think there's a lot of shit wrong with that. I just want to know what you think's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is. I think, you know, mixed messaging doesn't help things. You know, I feel like there is that mixed messaging that they have. You know, where are we focused on? Is it the hardware? Is it Game Pass? Is it both of them? Is it PC Game Pass? Is it Android Game Pass? Like, be a little bit more concise. Like, you can still offer alternatives, but have like a main focal point.
So RGT, are you saying don't go on and promote that you could play Starfield on a cloud subscription and not even need a console?
Yeah, like that brings me to my next point, is the marketing. The marketing for the brand is horrible, because right now, in all honesty, let's assume that everything we saw at the Xbox Developer Direct does make it this year onto Xbox. I think Xbox has the best first party exclusives this year. Nintendo.
Yeah, great year. Great year for them.
Nintendo doesn't have shit. They have remakes and remasters and Super Princess Peach, at least as far as we know right now. But then Xbox also said in June, we're going to learn about more games. But let's just assume that that's that. What is PlayStation doing? Like, this should be the year that they
literally said, see you in 2025.
Yeah. Like, this should be the year that Xbox is laser focused. Be like, hey, you want exclusives? Hellblade, Avowed, Indiana freaking Jones. Like, this is where you play the games. This is where you need to be. This is what we're doing. Game Pass, blah, blah, blah. We've got other games coming in. We got these games, third party games. Like, I just feel like their marketing really lets them down to the point of where some people that own an Xbox don't realize what all you can do on there or what all is available on there. And another thing, this is a personal thing, the Xbox store on the Xbox Series sucks. I want to see what Xbox and Xbox 360 games I can buy, and there's no way to filter it. There's no way to filter by system. What are we doing here? I want to see a list of games that are available. You have to like pick one when it pops up on your search, like say Crimson Skies picks up on your search, and then you have to pick one, you have to pick that, and then look at see what else you might like, and then you scroll through just a random list and there'll be like Xbox and Xbox 360 shit on there.
Isn't it there, nuts. Wait, there's a backwards compatibility section there in the store.
Where? Where? I have looked high, and all I did last night was try to find it. And I would type in the search. I'd be like, okay, well, let me just try Xbox 360. No, that doesn't work. Only thing that popped up was Alien Hominid 360.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Let me see. I should be able to add the thing here. You guys won't be able to see it, but it's definitely on here for sure.
Tell me where, because I was in that store for a good 15 minutes looking for that son of a bitch. I was looking under categories, the genres, everything. Searching everything.
All right, Attic, I'm a cover you briefly. All right, so I got the Xbox dashboard up. I'm going to go to the store.
I feel like it used to be there, but it's no longer there.
All right, so you got, all right, when you go to games... Mm-hmm. All right, so we got games coming soon, top free ISO. It's not in it, so you got to click on games. And it's all right. I'm gonna do this. All right, you're in a store, you go to games in the sub menu, right? And you got games, home, accessibility, add ons, subscriptions, new games coming soon, top. All right, cool. All right, so games, home, I'm gonna go there. Once I'm in the games home, it gives me the big publisher cell at the top. That's the top splash along with some new releases. Go down. They got the indie selects, which is highlighted under the game spotlight. And then you got by genre.
It used to be there, but it's no longer there. I'm telling you.
Wow.
What are we looking for?
There was...
Original Xbox and 360 games that I can purchase.
On yeah. Wow.
You can't just look for those. What the fuck are we doing here?
Oh, that's so you have to search the individual games.
Yeah. They need. Annoying. Oh, bro, come on. What are we doing?
That's one of the coolest things.
You know what's funny?
Optimizations.
You can't. You can't even gift those games either.
What do you mean?
Type in Fable 1. You cannot gift the 360 or Xbox One games. You can only gift Xbox.
Oh, Call of Duty Black Ops is on sale for $14.99. All right, you can't. Because they're not native games. They don't have that. I can understand
which,
that.
You know, whatever. But like, I just want to be able to look through that list and be like, oh, I never checked out this
game. And so you go to
is there not a filter in the store?
No, yeah, just, no, he goes to, so crazy. I see what happens. He goes to the specific game, right? And they go all the way at the bottom, and then they start showing up all the
similar games. I swear to God, there used to be a way to filter it.
Yeah, there was. I don't know what, like, all right. I wish I had like the connections that some of these people had just to get them to do basic stuff. Like, dude, like, there should, backwards compatibility should be like a
selling point.
Yeah, it should be feature. One of the top three, top four things in the store that you click on. Xbox Classics, call it that. Call
you know what it is.
Wow, that I can't believe we. Oh, wow. I thought they really. Wow. It's not even like I didn't even. Yeah, you really have to search for it. Yeah, they got to change that for sure. You know what's new in here? Accessibility in games. It's the second one down. So that probably replaced backwards compatibility. Careful. That. Yeah, right. That's Kids probably what.
On the edge.
Yeah, that's probably what did it. Accessibility in gaming.
You say they can all, like, their system can only hold like one or the other.
There are 657 360 games and 61 Xbox games, and there's no way, unless you know the name of the game you're looking for, there's no way to find them.
I'm gonna do a video.
Crazy.
I'm gonna do a video. You gave me a video idea.
Hey,
to rant.
Have at it, man.
RGT, shout out to him. Yo, Attic, we have a Patreon question and just one this week, but it's very long-winded. It's from Tay. What is T-A-I-J-H spell? Ty?
Page?
Ty? Oh, wow, okay. All right, cool. He says, Taj, yeah. Taj is a nice name. He says, what lesser known Xbox IPs do you think would be successful enough on PlayStation to revitalize the series and bring them back from the dead? Why do you think Microsoft refuses to expand their most popular IPs, Halo, Gears, etc., to different genres in the same vein of Mario? All right, these are three different questions. Okay. Objectively, in 2024, what reasons are there to buy an Xbox console that doesn't include because I have friends on Xbox? All right. One question at a time. Let's tackle it. The first question is, what lesser known Xbox IPs do you think would be successful enough on PlayStation to revitalize the series and bring them back from the dead? RGT, I'm going to you for that. Go ahead.
It's an Xbox franchise?
Yeah. A dead one that can be revitalized as a multi-platform.
Conquer. As
a, you I said Conquer.
Conquer, yeah.
Okay.
Conquer's Bad Fur Day or whatever.
I'm saying either Lost Odyssey or Blue Dragon, one of those two.
That's fair. Okay, that's still in the vein of that's an obvious game.
I mean, they own the IPs.
Yeah, so. But that's an obvious game that PlayStation, you would think PlayStation, since it's JRPGs and stuff like that. Yeah, Blue Dragon, Lost Odyssey. Do they own 99 Nights or no? Or is that was just like a one-time deal?
I have no clue what you're even talking about. What's it called?
99 Nights. N9 or something like that?
The cover art.
Yeah. That was the one that was like Dynasty Warriors, right?
It was developed by Q Entertainment and Fantagram?
That's the crazy... I'm looking at the case. It's crazy looking.
Oh, Microsoft Game Studios was the publisher, so yeah, I would assume
they most likely own it if they did that was, during the 360.
During the 360, that was the best box.
Yeah,
best
they were snatching
effort.
All those IPs that they
that
they
was their best effort.
They made a sequel that was published by Konami.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder. It still was. No, I don't think it wasn't. Yeah, it was still an Xbox exclusive. I don't know.
Do you think the original Fables would do anything on a PlayStation?
Yeah, they would. But with the new one coming out, I mean, I think that alone is going to revitalize the franchise. I'm going to say a dead Xbox. I can only go back to the 360 as there were a lot of earlier games there. Shoot. Their most popular ones still exist. Maybe Viva Pinata?
Like, I mean, I mean that's the an answer to Animal Crossing. I don't know. Like, maybe that one. Like,
Brute Force, you know, the fighting game. PlayStation people like fighting games.
Yeah. Well, is Killer Instinct technically dead? I mean, but
pretty much.
His second question is, why do you think Microsoft refuses to expand their most popular IPs, Halo, Gears, etc., to different genres in the same vein of Mario? Now, Mario has been around with, you know, you got Mario Golf, Mario Kart Racing, you got Mario RPG, you got Mario Maker, you have Paper Mario, you have there's so many damn Mario Tennis,
Baseball.
It's Mario Baseball, Super Strikers. Smash Bros, Strikers. That's a golf game, right?
No, that's a soccer game.
Soccer, okay. Yeah, man. It's easier to do that with Mario since it's still like a children's game.
Yeah, I mean, Mario is a mascot more so than... You could put Mario in a lot of different situations. I don't think a lot of people want to play Marcus Fenix baseball, you know, where you got the Lancer in the bat or something like that. You could do it with a banjo, but I feel like you should have done that, you know, 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
When you got Rare from Nintendo and just been like, okay, you know, Banjo is going to be one of the flagship mascots of the thing, of our brand. So, you know, they wanted to go in a different direction. I mean, the Xbox was kind of viewed as, I think, at least in my opinion, I think the Xbox is viewed as the adult console.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 2 was in the middle, and then the GameCube kind of had the kiddie narrative attached to that. So, you know, a lot of those IPs, I mean, you know, they kind of did it with Halo Wars. It's kind of, you know, an offshoot thing, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
Yeah, they had Halo Wars. They have Gears Tactics. We haven't seen like a Xbox All-Stars mashup in any way, and they don't have any like Smash Brothers clone or no kart racer that features them. That's the only thing. But that at that point, you're using like more so the Xbox universe of IPs versus taking a single IP and putting them through multiple different genres.
Right.
What about you, Attic? Any thoughts on that?
Sorry, you guys keep breaking up. What'd you say?
No, his second question was, why do you think Microsoft refuses to expand their most popular IPs, Halo, Gears, etc., to different genres, in the same vein of Mario? You know, there's all sorts of different Mario games in different genres. Why isn't Halo in so many, or Gears in so many of those different genres on the Xbox side?
I think because that's like a no comeback return kind of thing. Like, you know, I think a lot of people, even if it was just like old Halos, like the Master Chief Collection,
mm-hmm.
they, like, especially the casual person would see Halo on PlayStation and then just like, especially if they're an older casual person. I don't know if like maybe that's just like in my head or if that's not realistic, but I think a lot of people, if they saw Master Chief on the PlayStation platform, they would automatically devalue the Xbox in general, because even if you don't know that the newer ones aren't coming to Xbox, you're going to see the older ones and be like, oh, so everything's coming.
Yeah. No, but this question was more so into the genres of like, why isn't like, for example, if they did Halo Baseball or Halo Kart Racing or like, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, you know, we were saying earlier that kind of shit's a risk.
True. And then his final question is, objectively, in 2024, what reasons are there to buy an Xbox console that doesn't include because I have friends on Xbox?
Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Game Pass, it only exists on Xbox and PC. Got it on my PC and my Xbox. Yeah. So if you need it in need of a console, and then in 2024, it has the best games coming this year of all platforms.
Yeah. At least so, as it stands right now, for sure.
So hopefully that answers that. Shout out to Todd or Tay, Ty, for the question. You've fed us enough questions for the episode. That's pretty good. And shout out to all the Patreons on Weapon Wheel Patreon. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast special edition. Shout out to RGT85 for blessing us with his presence and being a good sport and providing great, great insight. Awesome content creator on YouTube, and always looking forward to your daily videos. You got anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. This was fun. I like to talk about other things besides Nintendo from time to time, so it's nice to be able to.
I don't even consider you a Nintendo content creator. I consider you a variety content creator.
Thank you. But yeah, check me out on RGT85. Shout out to all the Weapon Wheel people. I always enjoy doing the show. It's always a good time. Probably, I actually, it's my favorite podcast, if I got to be honest. I would rather do Weapon Wheel than Spawncast, but, you know. John gets a little too vanilla for me. It's nice to not be the craziest person on.
Yeah, I've heard you start going on and then they just like cut it off like completely. We're not talking about that. We're moving on. And I'm like, damn it. Because Colic says I like to smoke too much, so when I see people getting into the smoke and it's shut off like a valve, I'm like, damn it. All right, that would have been entertaining.
Oh man, awesome man, thank you. Addict, anything going on? I know you just came fresh out the Hove the Line, King David's show. You're doing a whole lot with the different productions you're doing and assisting in different podcasts and YouTube channels. I'm definitely gonna need a thumbnail for you as I try to find these Xbox 360 and original Xbox games for my next video, courtesy of RGT85. What you got going on?
You can find me on Twitter at Lord Addict IOP. I'm going to be streaming more Final Fantasy Remake, up until Rebirth. You know, I'm really, unlike Smooth, I'm really looking forward to that game. I can't wait to play that fucking game. Especially like the fan theories that's just going around, just bonkers. I can't wait to see who's right, who's wrong. It's going to be a fantastic time. Obviously, Gaming Addict. Right now, I'm getting dragged through to the Xbox streets. People got me by the hair, just dragging me through. I kind of feel like that chick off Game of Thrones that was walking down, like almost butt-ass naked, and people throwing rocks at her. Like it's like they ain't feeling me. But you know, if you got offended just because you know I believe that you know what I believe. Then you can fuck yourself because at the end of the day, it's like, look, like it's one thing to disagree with me. It's another thing to dogpile on me to try to silence my opinion. So it is what it is at that point. But I appreciate you coming on, RGT. It's the first time I think I've ever podcasted with you.
I believe so. It was a good time.
Awesome. Awesome. Maybe that is Final Fantasy Remake not coming to PC day and date.
It's already remake. No, Rebirth. No, Rebirth will come out later.
This is why Square Enix is stupid. Worst publisher ever.
I think there was a note that Sony has exclusivity for like 3 months, I think it was, on this game. So maybe after that.
Yeah, this is why I don't like Square Enix agreeing to deals like that. Just because Square Enix is notorious for coming, telling you they underperformed for decisions they made. Forspoken, Final Fantasy 16, Foam Stars, we probably won't even hear about that. Like, it makes no sense. Like, wait a minute. Foam Stars is a... That's on PC, right? Please tell me it's on PC.
I don't think it is. No.
Who makes a games as a service game that relies on players and exclusive? All right, we can end the show, guys. Thank you. Thank you all. This is why I don't like Square Enix.